the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We've heard the complaint before. Father, I've done everything right in my family. I've read all the books on how to raise my children. I've followed all the rules. I taught them all of the precepts of the church and the commandments of God. But now that they're grown up, the world has taken them. They've run after the fashions of the world, and they don't live a good Christian life anymore. Or we also hear the complaint, Father, I'm trying to make a good Lent. I'm trying to do severe penance for my sins. I'm fasting. I'm not drinking wine. I'm trying to put everything in order in my life. I want from now on to have a life which is in good order. Or even perhaps from the seminarians we hear, Father, I do all of my spiritual duties. I do my half hour of spiritual reading, my half hour of scripture reading. I say my rosary every day. I make my visit to the Blessed Sacrament. Everything's in perfect order. But when I go on vacation, it all seems to fall apart. Our Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospel today wants us to understand that there's a danger in missing the essential point of our life. We can have everything in order. We can have everything going according to the plan. We can be following all the rules, and yet we keep falling. St. Paul points it out in the epistle. Walk in love, and don't chase after idols like the Gentiles do. And then he lists a whole number of sins that are committed by the Gentiles and should never be committed by Christians. And he's warning the Christians not to give in to these same bad habits. When the unclean spirit goes out of a man, he wanders through desert places. Then he returns to the house that he left. He finds it swept and garnished, and taking seven spirits, more worse than himself, he enters in there. And the latter state of that man becomes worse than his former state. St. Paul says, children, walk in love, as Christ loved us. And that indeed is the essential point of our Christian life. That's the essential point, rather than following all the rules, following the game plan, raising my children according to everything that I've read, or doing my spiritual duties according to the directions that were given to me by my spiritual director, having everything nice, neat, in perfect order, clean. That's not the point of the spiritual life. That's not why we were created. But we were created to walk in love. Our Lord told us on the night that he was betrayed, that if anyone loved me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode in him. If anyone loved me, he will keep my word. He doesn't say, keep my word, and you'll be saved. But if you love me, you will keep my word. And the Father and I will come and make our abode in him. That is to say, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Blessed Trinity, wants to dwell in us. We know what it means to dwell somewhere. It's to be in a place, yes, but not only to be in a place, it's to be there constantly, without any intention of leaving. Our furniture, we don't say that our furniture dwells in our house. It's in our house. We don't say that a friend who's stopping by to visit dwells with us. We say he's visiting us. So in addition to being in a place and being there perpetually, somebody has to be there as a beloved member of a family or as a friend who's well-received, so well-received that he makes his home with the family receiving him. It's not enough that by grace God is in our soul. It's not enough that by grace God is there in a stable manner. But God wants to be a beloved member of our household. God wants to take us also as a beloved member of his household. We might ask ourselves, what's wrong with the soul mentioned in the gospel? Our Lord Jesus Christ said that when the Spirit comes back, he finds the house swept and garnished. He finds it in good order. It's true that an effort was made by this man to put his soul in order. It's true that anything that's repugnant and unpleasant has been gotten rid of. But the one thing that's missing is the union of love between the soul and God living in the soul. There is no presence of the beloved. Everything is neat and tidy, but there's no love. There's no constant love. There's no presence of the well-beloved friend. We want our Lent to profit our souls. We also want the things that we read about the spiritual life or about Christian virtue to have a fruit in our life. We want our spiritual duties to bear fruits of holiness. But all of those rules and all of those duties, they don't make us holy. They're rather a result, they're the natural response of our will to honor the God that lives in us once we've found him and we possess him and we love him. And that's the essential point. God wants to dwell in our souls. He wants to be a friend. He wants to be united to us always. He wants to be beloved of us. Our penances in Lent are to get rid of all of the things, not that are ugly and out of order, but that prevent us from being united to God. Remember, the soul in the gospel, everything's in order. There's nothing ugly or out of place there, but it's empty, and the devil has no problem returning. And therefore, all of the consequences are the sins that St. Paul mentions in the epistle. Because the house was put in order, but not for any reason. It was put in order for the sake of putting it in order. On Friday, we celebrated the Feast of the Annunciation. It's, if you want, the feast of God dwelling in our souls. Our Lady, when she received our Lord in her womb, she became the model of what our life was to be. We don't read of her doing any extraordinary penances. We don't read of her doing any great miracles. We know that she was the greatest saint. Why was she the greatest saint? Because no saint lived with the God present in her like Our Lady did. She's the model of our life. She's the model of our life of union with God who lives in our souls by grace. And she's also the mother of that life in us. If she gave life to our Lord Jesus Christ, if she brought him into this world, she brings him also into our souls. She wants to form him there. So let's turn to Our Lady and ask her to be the mother of Jesus in us, to be the mother of our spiritual life, and to help us to see that even if there are many laws in the Christian life, if there are many duties we have to perform that are essential, nevertheless, they're all a consequence of our love for our Lord. Because it was he who said, "If anyone love me, he will keep my word." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.